Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk everything video games with your hosts, Dan Joffrey and Rage Quit Pat.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement. I am Rage Quit Pat, and welcome to the basement. Yes! And also, yes! I'm always joined by my good friend, the man. He loves pizza much more than I do. That is Dan, the pizza man. Dan, how are you, my friend?
What is going on? I mean, I do love pizza, but I think you love pizza a little bit more.
I don't know. I don't know about that, man. I really do not know. But at the top, we have a very, if you do not sense the enthusiasm in my voice, we have a very special guest entering the man cave today. He is the next 007. He is the next James Bond. That is Double Agent Smith. He will be joining us today, but just really quick at the top, we're just going to focus on some games, some good games that are coming out in April. There's not many, there's just two, but here they are. That is Mortal Kombat 11 will be arriving on PC, Xbox One, PS4, and the Nintendo Switch on April 23rd. So check that out. Very big Mortal Kombat fan. Very excited for that. And also, if you are a PlayStation 4 owner, Days Gone is finally on its way out on the horizon. Very excited for that. I do have a PlayStation 4, and I've been waiting for that exclusive for a while, since E3 2017. Very excited. Also want to throw a special shout to Chaotic Fear with the sub for 5 months in a row. Thank you so much, Chaotic Fear. We really appreciate it. Oh, man, got to get a drink of water after that hype. I'm hyped up, man. I popped into Logan's stream a couple days ago. I think he got me hyped up. I'm pretty hyped up right now.
Yeah, dude, I'm pretty hyped, man. I love Dawes, and I can't wait to do this podcast with him. I the one thing I don't remember, did we talk about our new streamer of the month this month?
We do not, Dan. Take it away, my friend.
All right, let's do this really quick before we bring in our guest of honor. So SDC, Streamer of the Month, is Geeking Out with G. Of course, you can find Geeking Out with G on Twitch, Twitch TV at Geeking Out with G. He's an awesome supporter of SDD, a really great member, man. Love him all around. I go into streams often. You know, he's really good content, man. You definitely guys got to check him out if you haven't. Right, he's been playing Overwatch from what I've been seeing lately, a little bit of Hearthstone as well. So definitely check him out, guys. Twitch.tv, Geeking Out with G.
All righty.
Chuck, thanks for the biddies, baby.
I hear a knock on the door, Dan. I think we better answer it.
Hello, Mr. Double Agent Smith.
Yes, hello.
All right.
How are you?
Hello. Let's do this. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Man Cave. Once again, he is the next James Bond. He is 007. Let's bring him in. Let's hype up the chat. Double Agent Smith, what is going on, my friend?
What's good, Rage Quit Pat?
What is up?
I love it. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. What is going on, man?
How
are
you doing,
boys?
Oh man, one of the reasons why I love your stream, man. I love your effects, man, so much.
Thank you. I see Riley Marie down in there.
Riley is in the house. Bay is in the house. What's going on?
Spoiler, bring around the Rari. Bring around that Rari.
Man.
So
the one thing I do want to say, Doss, is I had such a great time. Pat and I had such a great time meeting you at PAX East, man. It was such a fun time, man.
We had a lot of fun.
So that brings me to, there's been a mystery. Our very first question, Doss, there's been a mystery going on. And obviously we all roomed together. It was me, Doss, Spoiler, Riley, and Tofu showed up at the end. But it's been a really big mystery. Spoiler woke up, I believe, on Saturday, and he said his toe was wet. So he – the very first question is, did you – lick spoiler, so
you know I can neither confirm or deny that.
It gets maybe a little remain a mystery.
Maybe his toe licked me.
Oh man.
Oh, it was a big mystery.
Did that really happen?
That's what he says.
Well, it was a big mystery. He woke up Saturday, and I think when you left for PAX, he's like, "Yeah, you know, I don't want to say anything, but my coat was really wet when I woke up this morning."
You're so stupid.
He was like, "I'm not sure." He's like, "I'm not sure if like Das, like I don't know if he licked it or." He's like, "I don't know. I want to ask him, but I don't know."
You're so stupid. He's so full of shit.
I swear to God, what happened?
It is 100% a true story.
You're stupid.
I swear to God, it is a true story. I swear to God, I know I was fucking around a lot.
You're so fucking stupid.
That one, I swear, that one, we were not messing around. That one was legit. Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, great God. Times in a hotel room.
Yeah, ordering McDonald's at 3 o'clock in the morning for Spoiler to fall asleep and not eat it. Das just going crazy on the elevator about me yelling in the Uber about ordering McDonald's.
I do remember some of this, yeah.
Oh, my walk in here. But, you know, all jokes aside, though, Das, how was your PAX East experience? How would you kind of describe the atmosphere? Just kind of checking everything out. How would you describe it?
I had a great time, man. PAX was a lot of fun. It was a lot bigger than TwitchCon. There were a lot of cool people there. I got to meet a lot of interesting people. The Bethesda party was really cool. It was great to get a little look at behind the scenes on a lot of different things and hear about the new stuff that's coming out and meet a lot of people that are in the industry like us that you know, I'm looking forward to working with.
What? And then you said it was much bigger than TwitchCon. What yes. was like? What was as far as was it games wise or was it like? Just because I know there was like other stuff. There was a lot of sellers. There was a lot of indie games. Was it in that sense that it was much bigger?
You know, there were just quite a few more. What were they called? The talks that were going on, the panels. There were more developers there. There were more merch vendors there. The floor space and just the overall attendance was, I'd say, like three times the size of TwitchCon. TwitchCon might be a lot bigger this year. Now it's going to be in San Diego. It's going to be at the San Diego Convention Center, which is Comic-Con every year, which is one of the biggest festivals in the country. So we'll see if TwitchCon will be a lot bigger this year. But PAX was massive. There was so much going on. There were so many people. It was a little difficult to get around every now and then, but there was a ton of stuff to see too.
Yeah, they definitely had quite a few fun indie games, like that one that we were playing. Was it Family Man?
Yeah.
Family Man. What was that?
Yeah, we were just a dad just getting fired from his job and just beating people with sticks and crap.
It was like an awesome game.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to play and watch. So
there was another game too. I don't know if you saw it, Das. As we were an ant, you got to play as an ant and kind of crawl around and hop around on doorknobs and books. And
I didn't see that. What was that called?
Yeah, it was a good game. I don't remember what it was called.
Cause I used to love Sim Ant back in the day, where you could play as an ant colony.
I forget. All I know is I saw like an ant and I was like, you know what, let me give it a shot. And I was literally just crawling around as an ant and hopping on doorknobs and books and just trying to get out of where I was stuck.
The indie games were, I think, maybe my favorite part. They, you know, they were really excited to talk to content creators and to get them to try the product or the game coming out. And, you know, it was great to really talk to the developers firsthand and get their opinion on the process and where things were and what their vision is for the game for when it comes out. And those people were always, of course, the most excited to talk to me and Spoiler and whoever else I was with, because they, you know, they want our help to get this stuff out and to get eyes on their game and their projects and get it some notoriety.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it was very exciting. It was definitely bigger than the last time I went. There were indie titles the last time I went, but this is definitely was a lot bigger as far as like indie games. Like there was indie games everywhere, as opposed to when I went the last time. There wasn't really too many indie games. I want to say maybe there was about I want to say maybe 5 to 8. This one was definitely probably well over 10 as far as indie games are concerned. There was a lot.
Yeah, and I did like that quite a bit more than some of the some of the bigger games where it felt like you couldn't really get access to them. Sometimes it might be an hour wait or more, depending on the line, because there were so many people there. So some of the newer games that were coming out, you know, it's kind of like you have to make a choice. You know, am I going to miss an hour of something else, potentially 2 hours, hour and a half of something else to play this game? Do I want to play this game that bad? When PAX opens at like, 10, only goes till about 5, you only have 7 hours there in a day. You kind of have to start budgeting your time more wisely than, do I stand in line an hour to play this game for 10 minutes? Do I stand in line for an hour to, talk to this person for 5 minutes? You got to start making hard choices.
Yeah, I really want to play Crash Fration, but that line was just crazy.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Biomutant. I really liked it, but spent almost 40 minutes in line for it. And, it's like, what else could I have done with that time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's for sure. Pegasus, though, overall, had a great time. Also got to meet a lot of great people. You included. I finally got to meet Spoiler in person, a lot of the other STC members in person. So I think that was probably more of my favorite time at PAX than anything else.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think PAX itself, I think on Thursday was a little bit better in a sense that we kind of got to walk around and, play games and everything else. Friday was a little bit just meeting everybody, but I would say definitely meeting you and, rooming with you and Spoiler was probably one of the funnest times I've ever had. And just kind of hanging out afterwards too was an amazing time. I finally met somebody else who appreciates tequila as much as I do. So it was very good.
I do love tequila.
So outside the PAX life, let's talk about a little bit of Double Agent Smith. What games have you been playing lately?
Last night I actually jumped down on some No Man's Sky, which I really enjoy. I played a little bit last year, and I know people were hard on it when it came out at launch. I think it was a very different game back then. I'm not sure. I didn't play it back then. But I played it for one of my 24-hour streams last year, and it's just one of my favorites now. I love games where you can explore new worlds and, just really massive, massive areas that you can kind of claim and turn into your own base. And I feel like it's a really fantastic game to play with friends. And Tuesday, actually, I played a game called Pacify that was a lot of fun. It was it's like a multiplayer horror game where it's four paranormal investigator, ghost hunter type people going into this haunted house. And you have to find all the pieces to banish this ghost that's like hunting you around the house. And it's pretty goofy. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, man, it does sound a lot of fun. Yeah, I think I have the game, but I don't think I actually played it yet. Oh, man. Yeah, I jumped
in. It's only $5.
Yesterday.
It is a lot of fun. It's really scary.
Yeah, No Man's Sky, I was watching you play yesterday. It looked a lot of fun. I mean, I played it when it came out on Xbox. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game did completely change from a previous launch. They did a lot better of a job on that.
Everybody's saying is that it's very, very different and from what it used to be.
I mean, which is a crazy thing because right when that game, I remember when it first got announced, I had everybody telling me, No Man's Sky, this is going to be something crazy, yada, yada, yada. And then it comes out and it flopped pretty hard when it first launched.
It was without a doubt the most hyped game I think I've ever seen. I can't remember another game in my history that was as hyped more than No Man's Sky. I cannot think of a single other game that they built up and built up and built up as being the biggest, hugest next thing than that game. And I almost bought a PS4 for it. I know a lot of people that did buy a PS4 just to play it. And, I didn't play it at launch, but everybody said it was awful, just awful. My buddy Creamy Ranch, one of my best friends and best mods, he said that he actually threw his disc in the trash because he was so angry with it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't work for GameStop during that time. I can imagine the amount of trade-ins that happened very shortly after that game launched.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the developers, they straight up lied to some people and, you know, made some promises that they just never had any intentions of keeping. And I don't know. It sounds like in the 2 years or so that it's been out, it's a completely different game. And I do love it now. I'm looking really forward to the stuff that they have coming out later this year.
So, you know, we all grew up on a game that kind of got us into gaming. So, Das, what would you kind of say was a game that got you into video games? What was, like, the first video game you played growing up?
My very first game ever was Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 1, before they started putting numbers in front of them. And it just really blew me away. It was incredible. First game, you know, it had a little bit of a story, enough of a story, you know, you're these four champions of light that need to save the world. And when you first get out of the main castle and you get into the city and you get into the outside world, it's this huge map. And every couple of steps, there's a random encounter. And it could be, you know, one wolf that your team defeats easily, or it could be a massive goblin platoon that just wipes you the fuck out. And pardon my French, probably Francais. And I love that game to this day. It's you can really build this narrative of your own, and you can build your own team. You're not locked into this. You know, you have this character, and this character. You can choose their class. You can name them whatever you want. And it to this day, I think it's just an incredibly advanced game for when it came out for Nintendo back in like 1988. And Square Enix is one of my favorite publishers to this day. I love what they do, and they've got a couple stinkers in there, but most of their games are some of my favorites of all time.
Have you kind of I'm assuming you mostly kind of stuck with the entire Final Fantasy series from then on.
For the most part, there's a couple that I didn't try and or didn't like, and I did really, really, you know, enjoy the first few, and I love the MMO ones even. Yeah, it's a really good series, and 7 is one of my favorite games. I think a lot of people have 7 as one of their favorite games of all time, and yeah, it's a really good series in my opinion.
Are you still anticipating the long wait for the remaster of Final Fantasy 7?
You know, I was so excited about that when it happened, and it seems like the more and more I hear about it, it just is more and more disappointing. I don't know why they're going to release it in episodes, and I don't know why they're not doing it in turn-based combat anymore. I think they feel like people think turn-based combat is boring nowadays, and I don't know. When we were clamoring for a remake, we didn't say, you know, we want a remake, but change this, you know. We said we want a remake. Just make the same damn game with better graphics. And it seems like they're changing around so much that I really wish they wouldn't. So I don't know. Am I going to play it? Hell yeah, I have to. But am I as excited about it? Not really. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, if anything can, if history can tell us there are some remakes or remasters that are stinkers, in recent memory, you know, you had obviously Resident Evil 2 that, you know, in my opinion, kind of put the definitive stance on, how a remaster or a remake should be made. They even were successful with the first attempt with GameCube. So, you know, here's hoping that remasters, remakes, and, you know, can kind of continue that trend.
I agree. Yeah, I think Resident Evil 2 was a good example of, you know, just keep the gameplay, make the graphics, you know, bring them up to modern day standards, and leave everything else alone. Maybe a couple of quality of life things that were really annoying from the first. You know, they changed around the controls and like the aiming a little bit, and I think that's a great example of what you should do for a remake.
No, absolutely. We're going to open up. We have a question here on Twitter. It's actually from Nitri. Nitri asks, what's your best experience with the viewer, either IRL or online?
Best experience with the viewer, either IRL or online. Let's see. IRL, probably at TwitchCon last year. There were two people. One person, my good friend Stitch Panda, she's been watching since the beginning, and she actually asked, she didn't go to TwitchCon, but she had her boyfriend there, and she asked him to get my first signature and like an autograph. And I was like really blown away by that. That really, you know, super touched me. And I didn't expect to hear something like that. And I signed a shirt for her and sent her one of my cards. And she's just been a really amazing supporter since the start. And I'm very, very grateful for it. There was a person there that said, they just came up to me. I didn't know their name at all. They've never said anything in the chat. So it's wild. You don't think about your lurkers sometimes. You don't think about people that are not active in the chat, because if you don't see their name, you know, if you're not looking at the viewer list, and usually I'm not when I'm streaming, you don't think about them being there. But a person approached me that has been a lurker for a long time. They've never said anything in chat. They just came up to me and, you know, they want to say, you know, they really like the streams and they liked the community there, even though they don't interact with the community. Somebody one time hit him with they hit us with a sub bomb, and he was one of the random people that got hit by it. And, you know, he just wanted to say, you know, thank you for that. And was a really nice person. Offline, you know, I'd say people that I haven't met in real life. We have a buddy named Hell's Ghost 34. He doesn't speak up in chat a lot also, but he did send me a message a little bit last year, near the end of the year, saying that he actually had just become an American citizen. He just passed the citizenship test, and whenever he was studying, whenever he was, you know, really worried about making it, whenever he was down, he'd have the stream on the background and just listen to us while he studies. And you know, I hear stories like that. People say, you know, in our community, just how great the streams have been, how great the communities have been for just brightening their day. And I always want to let people know that it's 100% mutual. And every stream that I get to do does wonders for my mental health, makes me an incredibly positive person, and it gives me all the benefits that it gives them. And it's totally a two-way street. I like to say that it's not my stream, it's our stream, and I completely believe that.
That's great, man. Yeah, definitely. I love interacting with the people. I mean, even the lurkers, man. You guys should love to those lurkers.
Absolutely.
So we got a question from Spoiler Sucks. Why did you start streaming?
Why did I start streaming? He can suck my get out of here. I started streaming because I really needed a creative outlet. I studied theater performance and acting in college, and I got out of college, and my dad got sick, so I kind of moved back home, and I never really got to do anything professionally with it. You know, I had dreams of going to the city and you know, having an acting career there, and it didn't end up working out that way. And then, you know, I moved to a smaller town and I met my wife, and then I started taking care of my grandparents after my dad went away. And I worked a night job. There wasn't really a lot of time to do like a play at night where the rehearsals are, and there wasn't like any sort of commercial or TV or movie industry nearby. So I had fun kind of DJing, you know, smaller gigs on the side and stuff, but I didn't really have anything that let me express myself creatively or perform. And that was really taking its toll on me. I was incredibly depressed for a long time, even though I have so much to be thankful for. I had a roof over my head. You know, I've got this amazing wife, and because I just didn't have that creative outlet, I was really, really sad with my situation. So Twitch was just this kind of amazing revelation. I stayed away from Twitch for the longest time because I thought it was just bros playing Fortnite, and I wasn't really into that. And to be honest, I've never been, you know, like a professional player at any sort of game. And I figured that's what people are trying to watch, or people that are, you know, doing these you know, top league plays and pentakills and stuff like that. And you know, I didn't realize that people can have podcasts here, they can have talk shows here, they can have cooking shows or mukbangs or IRL, you know, tours, or just, you know, have a comedy show. And once I realized that, I really got into it. I wasn't sure for a long time if it was going to be my thing, and my wife really pushed me to pursue it and look into it. I started with a buddy of mine, Pyro Diddly Doo. Shout out to Pyro Diddly Doo. He's a great guy. He's been my brother for years, and we started at the same time. And I got into it, and I loved it. You know, it was this perfect marriage of like all my favorite hobbies, video games and production and lighting, sound engineering, improv, and, you know, comedy. And I just really fell in love with it. And I've never wanted to work as hard at something as I have this. And it's been good. It's been great. It's been like the best thing that's ever happened to me, to tell you the truth.
That's awesome to hear, man. And, you know, we are big fans of your stream. It's just, it's kind of crazy how, yeah, Twitch has evolved. Being from when I watched it, it was like, yeah, Battle Royale City with all the Fortniters and all everything else. But it's come a long way. It's evolved into a lot, and met some, you know, it's, you know, I'm happy to hear that it's been great for you, man. You know, we do love your streams, man. You're an awesome guy. And it was, again, it was great to meet you in real life as well.
Yeah, man, definitely.
We also had a couple other questions on Twitter. Here's a good one. I think this will be fun. The worst games that you've ever played.
The worst games. let me see. The worst games I streamed or the worst games I played ever?
Those, whatever. Stream. Let's go with both streaming and ever.
Well, streaming, I have to say, man, the Conjuring House was just awful. I don't know if you've heard of this one. Have you guys heard of this one?
Did you play I've heard of it. I never played it, but I've heard of it.
Dude, it's awful. And hey, St. Diddy! Oh, man, I love St. Diddy. Are you kidding me? man, there's a guy I wish I could have seen at PAX. Hope to see him at TwitchCon. Love this
dude
so
much. I
was
hoping he was going to come to PAX like he said he was.
He was supposed to room with us.
Don't, yeah, dude, I miss St. Diddy's voice too. Yeah, that's right. don't get Conjuring House. It's awful. Do not get it. Conjuring House is, you know, it's sad. It's a game that could have been really great. The sound design is tremendous. Everything sounds really good. The graphics are wonderful. They use the Unreal Engine. It looks pretty good. The voice acting's awful, but it's about as good as a Resident Evil game, you know? It is. It's awfully wonderful. It's terrible. It's like you really want to like it. You really want it to be a good game, and it could have been. And it's just like these little stupid things just make it irritating. We called it Locked Door Simulator 2019 because you're just there's so many keys and so many doors
simulator
to unlock and walk around, and there's no map. There's no map at all. A map would have easily given that game quite a few more points out of 10 and made it much, much better. But they don't give you one. And trying to look one up, man, is just, it doesn't help the whole lot. When you run, it's like, you're just collecting all these little stupid pieces. Like, you know, Resident Evil sometimes is goofy. They'll have you do a thing like, you know, it's like, oh, here's like a steam valve. Like, you have to walk through like a doorway with steam going through it. And here's a steam valve. And like, you have a wheel to turn the valve, but it doesn't fit it. So you have to go across the map to the other side. And there's a laser cutter. And then the laser cutter, you cut a shape into the valve wheel to make it fit. Then you go all the way back, and then you put the wheel on, and then you turn the steam off, and then you go through the steam. That's like a typical Resident Evil puzzle. Dude, this is like that times eight. You have like eight of those things going on at all times. Like in Resident Evil, you're just worried about the wheel, fix the wheel, go through the thing. In Conjuring House, it's like grab the Ouija board, get the statue, get the key to the upstairs room, get the key to the downstairs room, find the other statue. Find the camera to take the picture. It's fucking awful.
And that sounds awful.
And it's awful because like the jump scares are really good in it. Some of the enemies are neat. There's one enemy that's just boring and kind of annoying because you can't do anything about her, and she just sort of chases you really slowly, and you just have to run back to like a save room to get away from her. But they did put a map in. Okay, so with a map, I would put that game up to like 5 out of 10 instead of 4 out of 10 is what I would give it.
Man, those are some big points right there.
And then what would be – so what would be like the worst games you've played ever?
Yes! Worst game I've played ever. Yes! Yes! I remember – really quick, we got a free game. We got a free game off of Steam called Russian Roulette Simulator. It looked awful, and the graphics were super bad. It was free, though, so like whatever. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You're playing Russian roulette with it's supposed to be like the Grim Reaper or some shit. I don't know. Yeah, so there was like a deal. The like kind of the gimmick about the game is if you die in the game, you die for real. No, it's not like that. It's more. You like can't play the game anymore. If you die in the game, you can't play the game anymore. You just literally are done. You can't play anymore. You're dead. You can't play anymore. And you can buy a DLC for like $2 or $5 to get more lives to play it more.
Oh my god, that is awesome, but horrible.
Pay for lives are the best, man. That's the way to go.
That's right. You can buy for the. You see, they it's not that they stop putting cheats in games now. You just have to pay for them.
Did EA have a hand in that? Do you think they must have?
It sounds like an EA game, doesn't it? It's not even pay to win. It's pay to actually play it.
It's gotta keep paying repeatedly to play and play.
It's basically a demo. It's a demo, is what it is.
Lord.
But it ended up being like, man, there was like this sort of philosophical commentary about like, you know, what would you do with infinite lives anyways? And I don't know. It ended up being kind of introspective and not that terrible, to be honest. Worst game I ever played off stream.
Must be a toughie.
Vampire Rain for the Xbox 360.
That was that bad. I heard that was. I'm trying to think of a game that I just really hated, man. You know, I had a lot of trouble getting into Alien Isolation. That's a game that a lot of people say is amazing. People still, I'm sure there's a ton of people streaming it right now. I played through the first hour and it was just so boring. Like, oh man, I'm reading all these emails and I'm like trying to figure out where to go. Meanwhile, there's no sign of this alien that I'm told is in the game, you know? I don't know if that's how they got the title. It's like you're isolated from the alien. Maybe you just never see him the entire game. You know? Just the alien somewhere in the space station typing emails to me and hiding maps, but, you know, always staying elusive.
Did you ever play Colonial Marines?
Oof! I've heard stories about Colonial Marines. Oh, I've heard it was. I loved Alien versus Predator, man. And then people still play that.
Yeah, man. You know that's a very for me. It's a very under the radar game. I loved playing as the Predator. Love playing as a Predator? The Predator was the best thing about that game, in my opinion. I love the Predator.
If I could get the reflexes to play the Alien, because the Alien moves so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And you can run on walls and on ceilings and do all kinds of stuff. Like, I you know, that's all that. I think it's a lot of fun playing as each character, and it's so diverse. And I really had a blast playing it when I played
it. The multiplayer was also very good in that game. I actually really liked the multiplayer, how it had the separate teams. I believe it was one person was the Predator. You had, I think, maybe like two or three people, the alien. Then you had a couple Colonial Marines. It was a good game. I liked it.
I think people still play it. You know, I think it's a really good one.
It was kind of, I won't say ahead of its time, but... I would definitely.
You know, it's just that it was so different. There are so many games where it's like, you know, you've got a soldier and you do this to sprint, and you've got an assault rifle and maybe a grenade launcher, and you can throw a grenade and all this stuff. And they just repeat it, but they don't really get crazy with the mobility. You know, maybe in Overwatch, you know, you got Pharaoh, she's got a jetpack, and Lucio can wall ride, and Junkrat can blow himself up. Besides that game, there's not a whole lot of diversity in the different shooter classes in a shooter game. And, you know, I think that's why I liked it. They all have really separate, powerful actions and movement abilities, and can't think of another shooter game like it, to be honest.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. I, again, thoroughly enjoyed the Predator campaign. I do agree with you about the alien. That alien moved very quick. I think I died the most playing as the alien more than any other character because that thing moved so quick.
It's hard to control.
Oh man, that was a good one.
Not a lot of people talk about that.
That was a really good one. Not a lot of people really talk about that game.
We should stream it sometime, man. People still play it.
Is there anything else that you have kind of on your garbage list?
My garbage list. I'm trying to think of games we streamed that were just awful, just so bad. Okay. Worst game in recent memory was Atlas. Atlas was just like, man, I don't know. It's wild to play a game like Satisfactory, all right, which is one of my favorite games of this year. It was in alpha and then just recently went into early access. That game is so polished and so tight and is so much fun to play.
Oh, Satisfactory? I mean, it's
Satisfactory, yeah.
It is very, very long.
I really enjoyed it. It's so polished. Everything is really smooth. I had no trouble playing at ultra 120 frames a second, and it looks great. And yeah, Ark is awful. Ark is awful too.
Dan
loves Ark.
I got over 1,000 hours in Ark.
You just broke this guy's heart. Here's the thing.
I love Ark too, but I hate the Ark developers. They need to fix the game before they add more stuff to it.
100%, dude.
It's got the spaghetti coding the optimization is horrible. You can't even. My first experience with it was on Xbox, and if you have anything on the screen on Xbox, you're going to go down to 15 frames a second. It's going to be a slide jam.
Yep. No matter what, man. Maps lag terribly. What the hell, developers? Why pump out more content? Fix the damn game.
Exactly. And they just never did that. And then eventually, I think they just announced it was out of early access, didn't they? Just out of the blue, they were like, "Oh, it's done now." You know,
here's the $60 game. Take this.
it's definitely not done. It's so buggy. And then they released Atlas, and Atlas feels like it's supposed to be a DLC for Ark. It's the exact same code, and I think maybe they were like, if we release this as a DLC, you know, the only people that are going to play it are the season pass holders, and they've already paid for it. So what are we going to do to make more money? Let's just release it as a different game. And, you know, that game was huge on Twitch for like a week or two. There were
more
people playing it than Fortnite one day. And
I have over 300 in Atlas. I very much enjoyed the game, but it was broken. I mean, it's been broken since the beginning. But from what I heard, I haven't played in a little while, but what I heard, the patches did get a lot better. They released one huge patch just recently that made a lot of things change.
And so that's the thing too. You know, I tried to be really open to that idea because, as we said earlier, one of my favorite games that I just streamed the other day is No Man's Sky, which everyone says was awful at launch and was completely horrible. And, you know, one of my mods threw it in the garbage and I never got to see that. All I know now is that after 2 years of patches and good updates and stuff, it's one of my favorite games and I really like it. So, you know, can I be as harsh on a game like that, you know, at launch for being so terrible? I would have to say,
hell yes.
because I'm so tired of these goddamn games releasing this early access. It's like they release a game like the day after they announce it. They're like, hey, we're going to make a game. And then you're like, hey, the game's out.
No, what? 100%, because you know what? Atlas came out, I wasn't able to play for 4 days, maybe 5 days, because the servers were completely shot.
Oh, same, yeah. I couldn't even stay alive for more than a minute the day I did the sponsored thing too. Spoiler. Thankfully, I can't imagine if I actually.
Oh, I did the sponsor thing as well.
If I actually paid for that game, yeah, you know. and it was so bad. Like I kept respawning like at the bottom of the ocean. I was spawned at the very bottom of the ocean, and the time it would take me to swim to the surface was like just enough to drown to death. So, like on the off chance finally that I would swim to the surface of the ocean, I'm in the middle of the ocean, and there's no land for miles. Oh, okay. This time I spawned near an island. I'm gonna swim towards the island. Oh, now I'm exhausted. Now I can't do anything. Now I just drowned again. Okay, hey, look, now I'm near an island. I can swim towards the island. Now there's a hammerhead shark on my ass.
That's how it was. That's how it was 90% of the time.
Yeah. And then the one time that I didn't spawn at the bottom of the ocean, I spawned in the middle of the sky, and I fell forever until I just died. I was just falling and falling and falling and falling until I starved to death. I was just falling into infinity until I starved to death. That was the goddamn game on release.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Many people streaming it, and I was watching like some 1G or some other big streamer guy, I don't know, stream it. And it looks great, and they look like they're having fun. I'm just like, what the fuck am I missing here?
God, they doing this, but we can't.
Yeah, I was just complaining for an hour and a half about it.
Do you think Fallout 76 could dig itself out of its grave, or do you think it's too far deep below the surface?
That's a good question, and that's another game that was incredibly hyped, super huge letdown, had a very Atlas start, lots of bugs. I played it maybe a week out of launch, and I haven't played it since. What they've done to it, I don't know. I'll tell you about my experience. And I was really hoping at the Bethesda party, like somebody would have, asked me, like, as a content creator, what do you think about Fallout 76?
They probably don't want to know.
We've been calling it Fallout 70 fix.
Thought of it.
Yeah, we called it Fallout 70 fix because they're trying to fix it now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my story. It was okay. It was like kind of boring. Like to me, I love Fallout 3 and New Vegas. I hated 4. Fallout to me, like, I just still think of it as a turn-based game because I was really big into 1 and 2, and I the free DLC patches. You mean fixes? That's what you're talking about. DLC. They're trying to fix the game. You can't release a fix for the game and call it DLC and be like, oh, it's free DLC. There you go. No, that's not how it works.
Like, don't let that spoiler. He loves this game.
I think the developers just sit there and like, you know what? Let's just release the game like this. Fuck it. We'll just keep releasing patches in hopes that we'll eventually fix it.
And hope that we'll eventually fix it instead of delivering a finished product on day one. That ultimately is going to do better for their sales and for their reputation, especially. I feel bad for the people that paid $100 and some, over $100.
Oh God!
Spoiler.
To get that. Spoiler.
Yeah. I just don't know why they just did not do like they did with New Vegas. I don't know why they just didn't have like a spin-off single-player game like they did with Fallout New Vegas. Fallout New Vegas was awesome.
Of my favorite games of all times.
Yeah, why wouldn't they just stick to what, I understand ESO now has built up a huge community with that game. It took a little while, but I just don't get it.
Fallout 14, Final Fantasy 14 too. Apparently was horrible at launch, but not for being unfinished. I think it was just sort of boring or something. I don't know, but now it has a very lively and really, I think the most positive community, most helpful community of any MMO online. I really like ESO and Final Fantasy 14 are great. So 76, man, my first time playing 76, I'm walking around. There's like boring. It's a boring ass story. They like want me to test some water or something. I'm like, okay. And, I've got these guns. They don't do anything. I'm playing with my buddy. He's like 10 levels higher than me. He's one shotting everything, which is good because I can't kill anything. Head, and he's just sort of like losing, a centimeter of health off his bar or something. And I see there's a timed event going on across the map. I'm like, oh, a timed event. Let's go check that out, man. That might be pretty fun. It's like you're in a big hotel or something. You have to get bandits out of there. I don't know. We fast travel to the event. We get there and you have to look for like keys to something. So I go into this room. I get the key and there's a robot that followed me in. Not a Mr. Gutsy, but what's the name of the butler one? The Mr. Handy?
Mr. Handy.
Whatever the name of the butler one is, he tries to follow me into this room and he stands in the fucking doorway and he blocks me and I can't get out of the room. And I'm trying to open the door, close the door. Maybe that'll move him. It's not doing anything. He just clips into the doorway. He's staying right there. I'm running at him. I'm sprinting at him. I'm punching him. I'm shooting him. I'm hitting him with my pool cue that I have in my inventory. My buddy's hitting him. We're like doing everything we can. I threw a chair at him. I'm doing everything I can to get this goddamn robot out of the doorway because I can't get the hell out of this room. I'm stuck in there. I've made this like little clip really quick that was like, somebody tweet this to Bethesda. Tell him to help me, please. Bethesda, we're stuck. We're locked in here. We're being held prisoner. Please, please, Bethesda, come let me out. And I can't do anything. My buddy's like, hey, just try to fast travel to another place. Okay. I go to my map. I go to fast travel. You cannot fast travel when enemies are nearby. God damn it. Oh, my God. So now I'm just completely stuck in this room. I can't do anything. I'm watching the timed event timer go down. You know, I'm like, well, we can't finish this thing now. I can't quit it. We're just watching the timer go down. I was in this room for over 15 minutes. Finally, I forgot to tell you, I tried to quit too. I quit the game. I logged out of the game and I came back and I was still in the event with the robot in the way and I couldn't get out of the goddamn room. I forgot that part. I'm watching the timer tick down 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. Finally, the event's over. We went there for nothing. The robot despawns. I can leave the room. Oh, and that's the last time. That's the last time I played Fallout 76.
Uninstalled.
I do not blame you. That sounds completely awful.
After that, I never played it again.
I tried to convince Dan while. Not to buy it because we game share, but it fell on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it anyways. I had to, man. You know, it reminded me a lot about like the Rust type of gameplay, the survival. So it's like,
sure,
I like those kind of games.
Sure, but sure. I never got to play Rust.
Rust was an amazing game. Legacy, for me at least, was amazing part. But
yeah,
those were the worst. Now let's jump into the favorites. What are your few favorite games that you played as a kid, an adult, whenever?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked because I've been trying to think of it lately myself. Not trying to promo or anything, but a month from to yesterday is my birthday, and I love doing 24-hour streams. It's one of my favorite things. We always have a great time. I really want to do a 24-hour stream for my birthday. And I've been thinking about playing just my favorite games of all time for the 24 hours. And so for that, I was thinking, like, Super Nintendo, gotta play Super Mario RPG. I don't know if you ever played that.
Yeah.
Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo. Just one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. Square Enix, once again.
That was a great game.
I love Metal Gear Solid. That is a huge one for me. For the PlayStation. Also came out on the GameCube. You know, I've never played Paper Mario game in Gorilla, but I've heard good things about it.
You've never played a Paper Mario game?
Nah, and I've heard that it's like the spiritual successor to Super Mario RPG, so I definitely want to one day.
There's such a great game.
Yeah. Have you played Metal Gear Solid?
I have, yes. I believe Pat has as well. Metal Gear Solid is another great game, man. You have a good list coming so far.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, we actually have a couple of voice lines in the stream that were recorded by David Hayter, the voice of Solid Snake, and you know, that's just one of my favorite things that has come out of this is we actually got David Hayter to do voice lines. You know, like David Hayter stopped and recorded my tagline, and he actually says "Live fast, eat ass" for the stream. Well, and like,
I think I heard it.
Dude, that was like this game that I played nonstop when I was 12, and that's one of my favorite video game characters. And to have the voice actor for that game, one of the most well-known voice actors of all time, dude, to be recording
that
lines
is awesome.
For this goofy ass internet TV show that I do late at night, I was like legit shaking the first time I opened it because it was like a dream come true that I didn't know
like
that I could
surreal,
ever even
like,
have, you know. It was
so
really
awesome.
Surreal to see David Hayter looking at me in this video and going, "Double Agent Smith." I was like, that's one of the best memories I've ever.
That is awesome,
you know,
man.
It's just, so I also love Final Fantasy VII. That game might be too long to even do for a 24-hour stream. I feel like, you know, I might just, you know, if I did that game, I would only be playing that game. Let me see. I love New Vegas. Speaking of other games that are long, New Vegas is just, I think, the best Fallout experience. Always enjoy playing that game. And then speaking of Bethesda, I love Oblivion.
Oh
yeah.
I actually like Oblivion more than Skyrim, to be honest.
I think we had this discussion in PAX. I guess I want to just go into it on a little bit. What was what is like your main reason why you love Oblivion more than you do Skyrim?
I like the little towns, and they all, I guess, a little bit different to me. In Skyrim, the towns are still very different. You got your White Run and the something Holm and Helgen and Riften, and they're different. But I don't know. In Oblivion, it feels like this new chapter every time you get to a new story. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Skyrim still feels like that sometimes, but I love that there's like a central city in Oblivion. I love the spell maker. That was a really big thing for me, the spell creator. Being able to just brew your own spells, I think was one of the most fun things I did in that game. I loved how they got rid of the Nox spell, and that really always bothered me. Like, if you remember, the Nox spell was like a lock picking spell. You just cast the spell on the door, the lock is picked. And that was something that I always really liked, because if you're this all-powerful master wizard, like, why the fuck are you going to pull out a bobby pin and a screwdriver and, like, really try to do this lock-picking game? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, like, it felt so silly in Skyrim to be like, I'm the Archmage of the Wizards Guild. Let me pick this lock really quick. Like, let me just... I could blow this door apart, or at the very least, like, just wave my hand at it and make the door unlock magically. And they got rid of the Nox spell, and I don't know. That was something I really liked about Oblivion. Little things like that that just sort of stack up.
Well, you're definitely better than me, because I mostly just went into any cave or whatever enemy I fight, just chopped them up and just set them on fire. That was all. Oh, there it is, right there. The photo of PAX East.
Beautiful kimono on you.
Yeah,
but What other games are on your what else do you love? I know we talked about are you when you talk about Knights of the Old Republic, do you love those kind of Western style RPGs?
Oh, certainly, yeah. Have you played Baldur's Gate?
I love Baldur's Gate, man. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, dude, Baldur's Gate is up there. I saw they're gonna be releasing the enhanced edition of the first one for Nintendo Switch, which is really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to unlock a lock manually when you're a super wizard, you know?
Yes.
Spoiler, I need to get kimonos. That just reminded me, dude. Thank you very much. I need kimonos because I love spoilers. What were we talking about? I totally forgot because I got distracted by kimonos.
Oh, your favorite game. Sorry, your favorite game.
Oh, Baldur's Gate, we were talking about Western RPGs. That's what it is, yeah. So Western RPGs, yeah, I like them a lot. I really wanted to play this Graveyard Keeper game.
You guys play that at all? A fun game. Yeah.
Is it?
That was a lot of fun.
Because I love Stardew Valley, and it just looks like this sort of, you know, dark gothic Stardew Valley, and that would be totally up my alley.
Yeah, Stardew Valley is a fun game too, but definitely... Graveyard Keeper is definitely an A+.
That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of wish I would have streamed it when it came out, but...
Spoilers, admiring your black ears in the video.
My black ears.
Just like goofy pictures and videos from PAX.
Wait a second. Let me see that again. Wait, why are my ears black? Why are my ears black?
I have no idea. I just went along with the filming of the Snapchat, and you got the dark eyes and the black ears.
I guess because of my eyes. My eyes are...
Your glasses turn black. Oh, no, it went over. Separate glasses. Oh, I don't know. It's weird.
Oh my god, look at young Riles.
Young Riles. Young Riles. I think, and goofy spoiler.
That's too funny.
Oh my goodness. What a time.
What a time to be alive. Lone smoker. Oh, so here's something interesting that we could talk about. This came up last night. Have you guys heard about DLive?
DLive? No, I don't think so.
So DLive is this new streaming platform that just opened up very, very recently. They got PewDiePie to, I guess, you know, sort of be the face of it, at least for 90 days. He's on like a 90-day contract.
Oh, God, and, PewDiePie.
I know. I honestly can't stand him personally.
Yeah.
I can't. So that's not a big selling point for me. But for, you know, his 100 million subscribers, maybe it is. That's a lot of people, you know. That's a lot of damage. So potentially if they all came over, you know, that could really, really boost this thing. It seems so weird. It's like this guy came into my chat and he was like, oh, you know, I just made like $500 in 4 days on DLive. And I was like, oh, really? You know, like that sounds too good to be true.
Sounds like a pyramid scheme right there.
Yeah, you know, and he said that he like didn't even really stream. He was just sort of like running test streams. And I was like, let's think about this for a second. Do you really think that you made this $500 just dicking around doing a test stream? does none of that seem fishy to you? And there are some people on there that are literally like, they were just doing, they were streaming like YouTube videos with nobody there at the stream. It was just literally a YouTube video going just on loop. And there would be like 50, you know, quotation marks, 50 people watching the stream. I'm like, what the fuck? So they have this like weird system of payment where it's like you're not really getting paid in cash, sort of. You're getting paid in Lino points, and Lino points go towards Lino coin, which is a cryptocurrency that's not really officially launched yet. I don't know, man. I find it really hard to believe that this guy actually has $500 and can get it out at any time. He made it sound like you need to have $20 locked in at all times or something, like a payment. But after that, you can withdraw your money whenever. I don't know about that. He said that this big company invested like $20 billion, and that's where the money's coming from. And
oh, my God. I'm surprised he hasn't told you that he's retired his parents yet. I've got pyramid scheme. Like, oh, yeah, you know, in like 3 months, I retired my parents. I'm surprised he hasn't hit you with that yet.
Yeah, he was using all the buzzwords. He's like, yeah, it's this revolutionary new way. It's free money. It's a win. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. You know, I've been hit with so many pyramid schemes. you know, when you get near like 30 and you start seeing like people from your high school, you know, and you know, they haven't talked to you in a long time and it's not a booty call. And you're like, what do you really want to go out for coffee sometime? And they're like, so listen, I want to talk to you about this opportunity, you know? And I'm like, oh God, damn.
Have you ever heard of it? We actually had somebody in my town get busted for a Ponzi scheme, and he had people involved in it. I'm not going to say names or anything like that, but let's just say when I saw them at like out, they were like, yeah, man, I'm going to retire when I'm 27 years old, man, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. The ones with the different like health, you know, serums or elixirs or whatever, even better. My buddy had like this awful multivitamin shooter that he took. It was like you're supposed to do like a shot of it, and it tastes like just sand and pee, you know, mixed together. And it's just awful. I'm like, dude, why couldn't you take a multivitamin? Isn't this the same thing? He's like, no, this is better for you. This is revolutionary. He's like, you know, my mom had fibromyalgia and now she's cured, you know. I was like,
as you said, it works. I do, because a lot of people in my town sell it works.
Mm-hmm. It works is a big one.
Yeah, very big one.
A lot of those.
I'm trying to tell you,
Fit Tea. Fit Tea is always a good thing as well.
Fit Tea?
Yeah, you never seen like Fit. There was like a big trend going on where everybody was posting like, oh, Fit Tea. I drink this in the morning and yada, 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 and other garbage. Well, Das, listen, I have a great opportunity for you. I want
to change your life.
It's going to change your life. I want you to give me all your credit card information and I want you to start buying oil from me. And it's a great opportunity, and you know, I want you to go door to door after that and just sell it. And you could retire your parents in 5 months. How does that
sound? I've got this bridge in California that I want to sell you. I've got some beautiful prime swamp real estate in Florida that I think you'd be very interested in. See, that's what's ridiculous, Lone Smoker. They're saying that, eventually it will self-sustain. It only costs $500. Sorry. It's like, I don't know if you guys ever got this. I know as soon as I turned 18, I got a letter in the mail from a company called Vortec who was trying to get me to sell Cutco knives. Do you guys have that?
No.
No. Luckily, I never got that email or the mail.
Maybe it's a Midwest thing, bro. When you turn 18, you get a letter from a company called Vortec saying, is it Vortec or Vortex? Saying that you should sell Cutco knives door to door. Can you imagine, bro, selling steak knives door to door? Literally going through a neighborhood, walking up, knocking on the door, saying, please let me in. Let me sell you some steak knives.
Oh my! You know, the biggest mistake they did was that they should have you carry around a steak.
And carry around the steak,
Look how nice it slices this steak.
Yeah.
And just cook it and just be like, look at that. Look at the juice. Look at everything. Look at the slice.
Yeah. And they want you to buy the test kit. They want you to buy the show kit, you know, the little set you're supposed to be like, hey, these are the knives. And it starts at $380. So that's where you start. But, you know, they say in the letter, they're like, you know, a lot of our representatives make up to an average of $40 an hour. And when you're 18, you're like, $40 an hour. Holy shit.
Let me jump on that.
Wow. I'd be a sucker not to join this. What am I thinking, you know? And it's just a big scam, dog.
Oh, my God. What? What a disaster.
It's all Herbalife. Herbalife was the one that my buddy did. Yeah.
My pyramid scheme was I had to sell oil. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I had to sell gas and like electricity. And it was every time they swiped their credit card, that's when I would get paid. And then I had the guy, of course, give me the spiel like, oh, yeah. I retired my parents in 8 months, only working part time. He's like, you don't even have to start full time. I'm like, oh God. He's like, now I make like, he's like, I make six figures now. I'm like, dude, this is, I was like, this is way too good to be true. And I was just like, oh yeah, man, I'll give you a call back. Click. Yeah,
so that's like D Live. It just sounds made the hell up. No. Well, I guess people are going for it, man.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Yeah, it says it's powered by blockchain. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I still think just Bitcoin sounds like a pyramid scheme. I think, you know, it's something a lot of people that maybe started at the beginning or that started the whole thing to begin with, you know, that those at the top of the pyramid, you know, maybe they're gonna do pretty good, but most people are just gonna end up losing money.
Yeah, I remember the Bitcoin things. I heard a couple people I know did it, and they kind of just backed out of it quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's the other thing. Let's say you really bought Bitcoin on day one, and it shot up to, you know, $200, $500. You know, it's hard to say. You know, why wouldn't somebody BitConnect? That's right. It's you know, easy to be like, you know, oh, I wish I would have bought a Bitcoin and now it's, you know, $10,000 or $5,000 or something like that. But, you know, when you pay into something, why, you know, you'd almost be a sucker not to take it out at $200, $500 a coin because it could crash from there. You know, nobody, you know, everybody can, at the end of the day that made the right choice can be like, oh, you know, I told you so. But at the end of the day, you don't fucking know. You're taking a gamble like anybody else and you're pulling the slot machine and you're hoping that you're right.
Bitcoin was definitely very successful at that. Oh my God, $20,000 a coin. Mm-hmm. Fucking A. I mean, now it's down to like $5,000, but.
Yeah, same Lone Smoker. Yeah.
Ugh. Would have been beautiful to buy Bitcoin. That's
the thing. I have a buddy that, you know, he, you know, when it got to 20,000, he was like, oh, you know, he's like, he was like, I told you so. I told you guys so. He's like, it's going to go up to 50,000. Just watch. And then he waited. And now it's back down to 5,000. But he's like, oh, it'll bounce back. It'll bounce back. And, you know, for his sake, I hope it does. I hope it does go up to 100,000 for his sake. You know, maybe he'll buy me a nice Rari or something. But as it is, you know.
Nice Rari.
It's back down to 5,000, and who knows? I feel like it's really lost. It's not in the media as much. It's not in the press as much, and I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope you didn't shoot Lone Smoker.
I thought cryptocurrency would have been soon to be replacing a lot of cash currencies and banking options, but that's not happening yet.
No. So, you know, it's I feel like it's like investing in anything, you know? You can make some predictions and hope you're right, and maybe you make some money, maybe you don't.
Yeah, sure. Don't worry, we'll create our own coin. We'll call it the Twitch coin.
Twitch coin. The Kappa coin.
Yeah, we'll try to get something rolling and see if we could make some nice dollars off.
Yeah, man, that'd be dope. Get that Kappa coin, baby.
All right, awesome. We got another question for you. It's coming towards the end of the stream. So we got one question we would like you to answer. And that is, if you have any tips for new people just starting out on stream, what should they be expecting? What should they do? How can they improve their streams?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that comes from T-Raw, right? What up, Benson Starker? Yeah, the T-Raw. Blonde Bucks. That's right. The Giorno dollars. Cash them in now, dude, before they're worthless. How you doing, Benson Starker? Benson Starker is one of my good buddies. He's a fantastic art streamer and just a good guy.
What's up, Benson? How are you?
For a Canadian, he's pretty awesome. T-Raw, I'm watching the chat, so if you have any follow-ups, like, drop them in there really quick and I'll try to get to them. New people starting out streaming. Man, I feel like I've got a lot of things to say. Okay. For a Canadian.
Well, the floor is yours.
The floor is yours. Let it out.
Never be afraid to promote yourself. You know, I know when you're first starting out, like you're like, do I do a Twitter? Do I do an Instagram? Should I put a link on my Facebook that says, you know, hey, I'm live tonight? And, you know, realistically, fuck yeah, you should, because nobody else is going to do that advertising for you. You know, if you believe in your content and you know that you're putting on a good show, advertise the hell out of it and let people know where to find you. And give them a reason to go out and find you, you know, network with people. But when I say network, I mean make friends. I don't mean like schmooze and drop some bits in somebody's chats or a couple of subs or go out to Royale streaming and, you know, earn some points. Actually make friends with people that are about your size. Make friends with streamers that you admire, that you like their content, you like how they do things. You want to learn how to do more things like them. Get in the habit of doing something where, you know, go through a list of people that are maybe streaming things that you like to stream. And get out a notepad and write down 5 things you really like about the stream. Write down 5 things you don't want to do for sure that you know that you would never want to have on your stream. You ever get raided, go back and watch that person's VOD. Go back, check out their VOD, see why they picked you. Was it something about your title? Was it your thumbnail? Was it something about somebody in your chat? See what they say about you. A lot of times that is some very revealing information that'll help you get more raids. Always be realistic about how much time you can put into this. Some people, I think, going into this think they're going to get ninja rich and, you know, make a lot of money right off the bat and do stuff like that. You know, a lot of times people will get maybe jealous, envious, or straight up depressed because somebody that starts at the same time as them might have more success more immediately. And you really cannot judge your path on anybody else's because your situation is unique to you. Everyone's situation is unique to them, and you can't compare yourself to somebody. I have a buddy that he's a father, he's a husband, and he works 60 hours a week. And you know, another very dedicated husband, family man that has a good, you know, adult job, Mr. St. Diddy. I know that guy just, you know, must have worked himself to the bone. He's starting the SDC and running the Discord and coming up with new stuff to stream and being a good husband and being a good dad and doing his regular ass job. You know, that's a lot of stress to put on yourself. That's a lot of time you need to manage. And you can't feel bad about not going at the same pace if your time has to be managed very differently. You know, yeah, that's a huge thing. And I think it's easy to get bummed out about. But if you really love doing this, you know, you're not going to stop it anytime soon. You got to think about the long term. You got to think in, you know, less of a situation of months. You know, I've been doing this for 9 months today. I've been an affiliate for 9 months today.
Wow. And congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I never thought that, you know, it's really wild for me to say I've been doing this for 9 months now. And all the time, like people at PAX, you know, I met, everybody was like, oh yeah, I've been streaming for 5 years. I've been doing YouTube for 7 years. You know, I've been on Twitch for 4 years. And, you know, it's like, I'm just starting here, you know, I'm just a freaking baby here at 9 months, you know? And I remember when I was 3 months in, I was really anxious. I was really worried about not doing something correctly. Or, I mean, I used to have the worst anxiety about streaming sometimes and stress, because, you know, I wanted everything to go smoothly. And I was, there's so many other people out there, and it's easy to compare yourself to people and say, you know, oh, should I be doing this? Or, oh, should I be doing that? Would I be more successful if I changed this about my stream? But thank you guys. Thank you, Diddy. Thank you, Lone Smoker. But this is, I think, the most important thing, T-Raw, is to completely be true to yourself. And it sounds corny and it sounds cheesy, like, oh, just be yourself. But it's really, that's the kind of community that you want built around you. Is you want people that are there for you and not for, you know, somebody's traits that you've emulated, thinking that that'll make you more successful. You know, you got to be real with yourself and you got to be real with your people, because it's always going to come out if you're false, and you want to be honest. Yeah.
Dude, that is that what you just said was honestly perfection, man. That was probably one of the best advices I've heard in a very long time. Man, it, you know, it's Twitch. You don't come to Twitch. You know, you don't become a streamer to get paid. You know, this is something you got to do out of joy, something that you enjoy doing, man. I completely agree with you on that. So, thank you for that tip, man. And I hope everyone here appreciated that. And I know T-Raw, I know T-Raw personally. And T-Raw has been working really hard on trying to get his streams going, his overlays going. So, you know, he's with SDC now. So we're trying hard to, you know, help him put that first foot forward. So he's definitely going to take that advice.
Yeah, Doss, a lot of that advice I'm also going to take in as well, man. I really, that was really awesome. A lot of really good advice. Really good.
The biddies. Thank you, guys. I fucking love you.
Thank you guys for the biddies. Thank you guys so much. Lone, you beautiful human. I want to kiss you right on your forehead.
So basically, I mean, our time is just about up, but before we head out, man, I just want to say one more time, you know, thank you, man. Thank you for coming on. You know, Pat and I were really excited for this podcast. We've been waiting. I was like, yeah, man, I can't wait for Daz to be on here. Super excited. And it's finally happened, man. Such a great podcast, man. You are a great guest, man. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, dude, I had a great time. You guys are great. It was an honor to meet you at PAX, and this has been great, dude. Thank you very much, guys, for having me on.
Oh, no, thank you. And for you know, the listeners on iTunes and Google Music or whatever they're listening, can you just throw out your social media out there where they can find you, your Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be?
Yeah, for all the people out there on Tidal and all that, it's Double Agent Smith, all one word across the board there, except on the Twitter sphere, the tweeters. On Twitter, they only have 15 characters. My name's kind of long, so it's Double AGT Smith right there. But usually you can have good success just searching for Double Agent Smith wherever you go, all one word. Thank you.
Oh, amazing, man. Once again, thank you for coming on. Guys, thank you guys for all stopping by, man. I so appreciate everyone coming. I fucking love you all, man, for the biddies, the follows, the resubs. Very much appreciated. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Apple, Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Play, so many other places at our, in our mom's basement, or on our line at ourmomsbasement.com. And thank you guys all for coming out. Thank you, Daz, for being our guest. And thank you, everyone. So have a great night.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you guys so much, Daz. Thank you for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for the biddies. Thank you for the new follows. Welcome to the Man Cave. And Daz, next time we room together, there'll be some cuddling next time.
Maybe a little bit of toe licking.
and if Riley stays with us, we'll get her jealous and we'll have no one cuddle her, and I'll just cuddle with you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, good night, guys.
All right, good night, everyone. Take care.
You have just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your hosts, Dan Joffrey and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.